Now,
the rest of the story. When Johnny Davison was only 12, his daddy took him on the most memorable vacation out west to the Rocky Mountains to splendid Yellowstone. And gazing at the scenic wonders, Johnny grew determined that someday, some way, he would return to the western wilderness with children of his own to share with them all that his dad had shared with him. And this is the rest of the story. 40 summers later, John did return. He's a grown man now with a wife and three youngsters. It began with a trip to California and the Southwest, was climaxed with a 12-day stay in Yellowstone country. From Yellowstone, the family drove south. The first day, they picnicked beneath a tree on a hill overlooking a beautiful lake. Below them grazed half a dozen moose, and across the lake, there stretched into the distance a magnificent range of mountains, the likes of which John had never seen. That afternoon was to live in his memory forever after, particularly as it contrasted to the following day, for as the family continued south, they were appalled by the vulgar intrusion of so-called civilization. Telephone wires and dilapidated cabins cluttered the lakeshore. Farther down the road, dingy taverns and seamy night spots had sprung up like weeds in a delicate garden. John's wife was especially saddened by this terrible borderland where carelessness and wilderness had met. Couldn't something be done to stop this? She beseeched her husband. Well, John agreed that something must be done. The last day of their vacation, John and his family drove a little north up to a mountain rim from which they could see miles in every direction. Below them, the shimmering bright ribbon of a winding river and a verdant valley that spilled away from it and on toward the horizon. And John knew as he gazed upon that sight that somehow he must have this valley for his own, a place to preserve and protect from the ravages of what the world calls progress. A little corner of the great earth to which he could always return and dream, thus inspired of how heaven must be. Well, who owned the land, John wondered. Homesteaders, small ranchers, among others, he learned. And then John would buy them out. His valley intact? He would be very careful. He'd have to create a front company and then purchase the acreage to minimize local resistance, and all of this he did. It's said that every man has an apple orchard somewhere in his heart, some quiet place, real or imagined, to which he may retreat, and wherein his dreams are forever safe. For John, his valley was that place. And yet, to all of the rest of us, it is now so much more. For you see, as John acquired that land south of Yellowstone, and as his holdings increased, one ranch, one farm, one acreage at a time, so did his sense of responsibility to posterity. For John, the first threads of that magnificent tapestry were an afternoon picnic on a hilltop overlooking Jackson Lake and a breathtaking morning on a towering rim in the Tetons, high above the glistening Snake River and the spectacular Jackson Hole Valley. Now, you're going to remember John as John D. Rockefeller, Jr., but our nation will remain forever grateful for his love affair with a place that might otherwise have been profaned, a plot of land which he bought and gave to our government to give to you, the Grand Teton National Park. And now you know the rest of the story.